Good morning, Chapel.
Good morning.
It's only been 10 months since I've been here, but it seems like a long, long time to me. But so we were sitting down preparing for this meeting, and also we have our banquet coming up, and I was sitting back and thinking about the accomplishments that God has done in Romania. And my first response to my daughter was, well, this year we haven't done that much. You know, and so because in my mind, you know, I think of the whole ministry, and you know, whenever ministries grow, you need more buildings, you need more projects, unfortunately. And but in our ministry, the attitude is, you know, if there's a ministry or a project, it's always the ministry that takes first precedence. And so we work on projects whenever we don't have ministry that's pushing at us. And so this year it's been ministry, 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 and the projects have been put back. So we don't have a whole lot of testimonies about things that have been accomplished as far as projects. But as I sat down and started to write, you know, what did we do in January? What did we do in February? What did we do in March? It was outreach, outreach, evangelism, outreach, evangelism, outreach. And I started to think of the lives that were changed during that. And I thought, wow, God, this has been an incredible year. And, you know, our motto is every year is the best is yet to come. You know, every January we like to start with that motto because we're believing that this year is going to be better than next year, than last year, sorry. And you know, we came into this year, actually we had two people that were very close to us that had struggled with cancer for 3 or 4 years. And we came into this year realizing that, you know, things were getting very, very difficult for both of these families. And, you know, we continued, you know, through January saying, okay, the best is yet to come. God is going to heal these. And one being a nephew of ours, his wife. And so it was very close to our hearts. Well, come January, the end of January, we had two funerals, one back to back, you know. And, you know, I after the second funeral, I went home. And I looked at what I had written on my desk saying the best is yet to come. And I thought, Lord, right now it doesn't seem like this is going to be our best year. But I made a decision at that moment. Lord, I give you my all, and I believe that the best is yet to come. And so that had kind of become my motto for this year, giving God our all, regardless of how we felt physically or spiritually. We wanted to give God our all. And it was interesting because within the next week, unknown to us, a ministry team from Hungary showed up at our door and they wanted to do outreach and evangelism. So, of course, we went out and started to do outreach and evangelism. And it was interesting that after that, it just seemed like God was bringing people from all over. And their focus was outreach and evangelism. And this year has been interesting. We have had people from Norway, Sweden. And, you know, for years I thought, Lord, we need to be in contact with Bible schools in Europe because we live in a rural area. But then I thought, you know, who will come to this area? We're in the middle of nowhere. And but this year, without us praying, we ended up having a visit from a church a Bible school in Sweden that's well known all over Europe. And they sent a group to us interested in evangelism and outreach. And right after that, another school, which I actually attended from Norway, came and did an evangelism. And then this group from Hungary that's interested in outreach and evangelism. So it was quite clear that God was showing us this year is going to be a year for outreach and evangelism, which is fine because the heart of Barnabas has always been to reach out. But interesting to me, God started working on my heart. You know, for me, it's easy to minister to people that step foot into our ministry or step foot into our church. It's easy for me. It's easy for Maria. If we're going into homes where we're giving out food and trying to help that family, it's easy for us to sit down at the table and start talking to them about Christ. But interesting enough, God started to nudge at me whenever I was in the line at the grocery store. And he started saying, you know, look at that person behind you. Does he know Jesus? And I would start to question that. And then after a while, the Holy Spirit would say, well, somehow you need to ask him. Somehow you need to find that out. Somehow you need to share. And so it's interesting because this whole year, our Our theme has been evangelism and outreach, and just not within the confines of the four walls of the church, but within the confines of our everyday life. So it's been exciting, and as we sat down and wrote out the list of everything that God has done, you know, God has brought people from Norway, Sweden, we've had Slovakians, we've had Hungarians, we've had people from Azerbaijan, Ukraine, to visit us, and there's other countries that have been represented, but every single one of them have been concentrating on outreach and evangelism. And we've had the opportunity, you know, we've been working in Ukraine for the last couple of years, but this year we got the idea, well, let's take a team of our teenagers there so that they can minister to the orphans. So I think in March we were able to take, 10 of our teens to an orphanage in Ukraine. And it was incredible to see how they just fell in love with the orphans there and started ministering to them. And hopefully we can continue to do that. But I want to start by saying thank you to Chapel. Actually, you're a very big part of our support. At least a quarter of our support comes from you. So everything that you've seen on that video is thanks to you. And also, whenever we came home, we came to Scott and Linda's house, and they had food all over that had been given by people from Chapel. So thank you. That's something unusual about where we're from. People don't take care of one another like that. So it's very touching to our hearts to come home and remember that we come from a church that has that. And, you know, we are Chapel DNA, whether we want to recognize that all the time or know that we are. Whenever I come back home, this is my home. And also, it's interesting because I come here and I look at Chapel and I see also our ministry. So the DNA of Barnabas is Chapel on the Hill. And so thank you for your prayers. And, you know, with our camps this summer, especially, we've had pastors and leaders come and they say, you know, there's something different about these camps. And if you are on our prayer list or our email list, you will notice every Tuesday I try to get an email sent out, which I haven't been doing a good job the last couple weeks, but asking for prayer. And, you know, as soon as I send those emails out, I feel a covering over our ministry. But it's interesting because as I sat down talking with the leaders and the pastors that use our camp, they also shared, there's something different about this camp. God always shows up. And I was able to go on and share, you know, there's over 100 people praying in America that God will show up during this camp. You know, so God answers your prayers, and we are blessed because of it. You know, our daughter Ashley went to the country of El Salvador earlier this year, and me and my wife were sitting, and we were thinking about El Salvador, and we thought, well, we wonder if it's a safe country or not. Maybe we should check that out and start praying for her. And we looked it up on the internet, and El Salvador is a fairly dangerous place, according to what we were reading. And we were like, oh, we really need to cover in prayer. And then I said, wait a second, let's look up Romania. And so we looked up Romania, and according to the internet, Romania is just as dangerous. And so I sat down with my wife and I said, you know, we've been here 30 years. God has blessed us. God has blessed us. We've really had very few encounters with criminals or anything. So, you know, God has covered us. God has blessed us. And wherever he calls us, he will protect us. He will protect you. And you know, it's interesting that things seem to be always more dangerous wherever you go. But, you know, God is with us wherever we go. And I want to introduce my daughters. Actually, three of my daughters are with us. We have six daughters, two sons. And we left from Chapel in 2008 after my wife had been here for quite a few years trying to get her citizenship. But we left as five, me, my wife, and our three daughters. 2 years later, God added five more children to our family. And but it's interesting, this trip, it just worked out that the original five that left in 2008 returned. So Annabelle, Ashley, and Jacqueline, can you stand? Okay. Ashley, Jacqueline, Annabelle. And you're going to hear more from them later. And so they're going to share a little bit about evangelism with you. But I want to start... shall I go into the message, or is it okay? Okay, good. So, as I shared earlier, God has been teaching us about evangelism this year. And it's not that, you know, our ministry has always been trying to reach out to the community. But one of my favorite sayings, which I'm sure that probably most of you will agree, it's one of your favorite too, because I learned it here at chapel, and that is, at all times preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. How many of you have heard that saying? Okay, how many of you have tried to live that saying? I think it's a saying that is very ingrained here in chapel. And it's also very ingrained in my life, in our ministry. And, you know, so it's very important to preach the gospel with your life. You know, you can't go out with words sharing the gospel and be living like people in the world. You know, if we're preaching the gospel and we're sharing the gospel, we need to be trying to align our lives with the Ten Commandments and the basic teachings of the Bible, and be quick to repent whenever we see that our lives are not in line with the word. But, you know, for us, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. For us in Barnabas Ministries, especially me and Maria, because we take care of all the behind-the-scene office work, all the problems with the government and everything, sometimes for us it's enough ministering to people whenever we have a meeting, you know, and we started to think, you know, it's the job of others that we're ministering to bring people in, and we will minister to the people that come to us. But, you know, this year God has been convicting me. That's not enough. You know, I need to be out among the population. And if I am standing in a store buying groceries and I turn around and the Holy Spirit tells me to speak to that person, I need to be ready and able to share the gospel with that person. And, you know, it was, and I think for most all of us, that's a little scary, you know, to just start talking to a complete stranger about Jesus. It's a little bit scary for each and every one of us, and it's scary for myself. I'm not typically a very talkative person if I do not know somebody. I'm talkative whenever I start to know somebody. But you know, I started praying about it, and I started praying, God, give me boldness. And it's interesting how the Holy Spirit will give you boldness when you need, and he will give you the words that you need when you're willing to open your mouth and share. But, you know, it's not enough to share the gospel without words. More times than not, you need to add words to what to your life, you know. And you know, there's a time I believe that the most powerful testimony is when somebody sees you living the Christian life and they come and ask what is different. If that happens, then you've got an open door to share everything. But I think it's also important to be able to share with your voice the gospel. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. And but because Ashley has been away at school learning about these things, and she's come back and taught us everything, I'm going to let her take over, and she's going to share about evangelism. And Ashley, do you want to come on? Just wait 1 second before that. I want to share one testimony that has convinced me that there was a young man, and I walked by this young man for months. And he was in a rebellious mode, and it was very clear to me he wasn't where he was wanting to be at the moment. He was in a church, and he was only there because his parents forced him to be there. And I walked by that young man for months, seeing his condition, thinking, Lord, something needs to be done. We need to do something to bring our youth closer to you. And but after a couple months, God started saying, well, you do that. You build a relationship with that young man. And I thought, how can I build a relationship with that young man? I'm not very often around him. I don't know him. And one day I was walking by him. God gave me a word for him. I thought, okay, God gave me a word for this young man. How do I confront this young man that obviously is in a rebellious situation? How do I do that? And I thought, well, I need to develop a relationship with this young man. So for the next 3 or 4 months, I actively sought to develop a relationship with this young man. And I talked to his parents. They joined with me to help me to get to know him, to spend time with him. But because I was willing to do that, about 5-6 months later, I was able to lead him to the Lord. And he came to the Lord in a very dramatic fashion, changed his life very quickly. The next time I met his parents, they were in tears. Like, it's amazing what God has done. And so, unknown to me, over the last about six months to a year, God has used this young man to bring a radical transformation in the youth group that he's a part of. And, you know, we have been investing in that youth group, praying and hoping that it would grow. But unknown to me, he was a key person for that. So you never know the difference that one person can make in a church, in a youth group. So, you know, whenever you're talking to people, you never know the power of that one person if Jesus grabs a hold of them. And so.
Thank you, Daddy. Yeah, so what Daddy was sharing about the importance it can, sharing the gospel can make in someone's life, I've seen that this last year. And first of all, I actually want to say hello. It's nice to be back. And every time we come back, every time I walk into this room, I honestly feel at home. I was 9 years old when we left, but in my mind, this is still my church. Although I'm much older now, but this is still my church, and you all are truly family. And as Daddy mentioned today, as we were preparing, we really got on our hearts to talk about evangelism because we've seen the impact it has. We've not only seen the impact it has on us, we've seen the impact it has in empowering young people. You see, young people, they want to do more than we let them do sometimes or than we think they can do. But evangelism, they've got energy we do not have. They've got abilities we don't have. And as we are examples and we're sharing the gospel, we're actually, without even doing anything, we're raising up a generation to be bolder than we were, to be more on fire than we were. So you see, Barnabas Ministries is strongly rooted in aid work, strengthening communities, families, orphans, outreaches, and discipling people. But we've seen how God is raising up a generation in Romania to boldly proclaim the gospel. And we've seen how all these different ministries that are in our ministry with aid work, with discipling, we see how evangelism is being is kind of intertwined in all of them. We see how all of our volunteers, actually, they're raising up and they're going deeper in their faith because of doing this. So today we'd like to dive into this subject, and the title of today is Power Evangelism, because as the body of Christ, we are called to send missionaries out. We were sent to Romania, and that's where God has us, but it's really important to know that we are all called to be missionaries at our workplace, in our schools, on our streets, in our families, in our community. We're all missionaries. Of course, some are sent out, but we're all missionaries where God has placed us. And it's really important to think of yourself in that way, because that way you walk every day when you get out of bed, you know, I can make a difference today. Because you see, the friends you have, the circle of influence that you have, I will never have. I will never be able to influence your circle because I do not know your friends. I do not know your family. And in the same way, you will never be able to influence my circle of influence, because you don't know my circle of influence. We've all been placed so strategically. It's like a puzzle. And if we all go out and doing our part, I believe we can see true revival. So before I actually start, I just want to pray. So if we bow our heads, I just want to invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place, God. We invite you into this morning, God. We are here with open hearts. I pray, God, that you will speak through me, God. I pray, God, that you will work in us and through us, God. And I pray that you will challenge us today, God. I thank you, Jesus, that we will leave challenge from here. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said, the title of the message is Power Evangelism. And when we look into the world today, what do we see? We see a lot of problems, right? Everywhere we look, we see loneliness, suicidal numbers, depression, it's on an all-time high. And anxiety, emptiness, identity crisis. We see so many problems around. Why? Because people are looking for something and they don't know what they're looking for. And us as Christians, it's interesting because we're sitting here seeing all those problems and we have the answer. We have the solution to what they are longing for. And with all the bad news happening today, there is a huge need for good news. There is a huge need for Jesus. And all it really takes is us stepping out of our comfort zone. And I believe it is our responsibility to be stepping out of our comfort zone. So that way we can bring solution to the destruction we're seeing. And as my dad mentioned earlier, he said about how God called me to step way out of my comfort zone and go to Bible school to learn about evangelism. Because I noticed that was actually my weakness. You know, I knew how to share Jesus. I loved sharing Jesus, you know, once I got to know someone a little better, once they, of course, came into my comfort zone. But me going out, me talking to a stranger, me laying hands on someone and praying, that was scary. So I decided, you know, I felt that was my weakness, and I was like, I don't want to live in my weakness. So I went to Bible school, and what I saw is when you give your yes to Jesus, when you decide to go out of your comfort zone, all I can say is, wow, God does amazing things. I've seen miracles. I've seen people transformed. And it's nothing I did. It's nothing I said. It's nothing the people I was with did. It's just because we were obedient and God was able to move. So when we talk about evangelism can be done in many ways, many forms. And regardless of how it's done, however the Holy Spirit leads you to tell someone about Jesus, the essence is always spreading and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today I'm going to go over two main points, and that is evangelism and power evangelism. And I'm going to divide it up in three parts. First point, your calling, your message, and your anointing. Now, when we talk about your calling, a lot of times there's this slide with this confused little kid. Yeah. And a lot of times when we talk about our calling, we stress a lot about, you know, where should I work? What should I do after retirement? We just stress about things that are kind of like our things that we should do, but that's not our main calling in life. Of course, God has given us talents we need to use to the best of our abilities. He's given us resources we need to use. But our primary calling actually is common. We all have the same primary calling. Love God, love people, and the Great Commission. And Mark 16 says, Jesus tells them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And this word here, these words, preach the gospel, that's one of our callings. We are called to use words. We are called to tell people. And this other key word, go, it's interesting because when you look at it, it's actually a commandment. You see, Jesus doesn't say, if you're feeling good today, if you like the person, or, you know, if you feel bold and you feel like you've got it, or if you know it all. No. Jesus says, go. Do it afraid. Do it if you think the person might hit you. Just do it. So go despite our comfort zone, despite our feelings, we need to go. And the last word I want to highlight here in this verse is all creation. That means everyone. That means people you like, people you dislike, people who are nice to you, people who are not nice to you, people that intimidate you. It's everyone. Wherever God has placed you, you can go and you can share the gospel. So I want to now go into why we should share the gospel. And for me, this was actually really important to always remind myself. And if you have, you're taking notes, you can write these three points down on why to share the gospel. Because every time I go to share the gospel, it's almost like I'm doing it for the first time. I have to like sit and convince myself and be like, yeah, you can do it, maybe not. And then I have to convince myself to just cross that chicken line, like just get over it and go and do it. So it's important to always know why you're doing something, because then you can remind yourself and then it's easier for you to do it. And the first reason why we share the gospel is because God commanded it. And as I mentioned earlier, Jesus tells us to go. The second reason why we share the gospel is because God loves the world. And here in John 3:16, I'm sure you all know this verse, but it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So I want you right now to think of a person you love the most. Who's the person you love the most? And then think of the fact that, you know, we're human. So our love is really, it's flawed. Then think of the fact that God, his love is infinitely better than your best love. And that love, that is the love that he loves everyone. So when you look at an enemy, your bosses at work, difficult family members or difficult neighbors, that is the love that God has for them. So then when you do that, it automatically softens your heart. Your entire perspective changes because you're seeing them the way God sees them and not the way we as humans see people based on past experiences or thing. So it's important that we always look at people with the love God has for them. And finally, the third reason why we share the gospel is because it's the only solution. And we see in John 14:6, it says, Jesus tells them, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So we see here that Jesus is the only solution for people. And if people don't hear about Jesus, how will they know? And if they don't know about Jesus, how will they have the opportunity to decide? You see, you and I, we've been given an opportunity to hear about Jesus. And we're here most likely because we've heard about Jesus. We've seen how he's transformed our lives. But every person deserves that opportunity. And God has placed you, he's given you the knowledge to do that. And I want to also mention this. People are more open than we think they are many times. And one thing I learned is, who am I to say that someone won't accept Jesus? You know, a lot of times you'll go and like, oh, no, that person, he won't. They're not interested. Who am I to assume that? You know, if the Holy Spirit puts on my heart to go and speak, I will go speak and then they decide. And it's up to them. And of course, I'll be there answering any questions and helping them along the way if needed. But it's not up to us to assume that people don't want Jesus. So that was a little bit about our calling. So we all know now our calling is the Great Commission. And our second point is our message. And you see, our message should always be the gospel. And I've actually been shocked because I grew up in a Christian family, so I always knew about Jesus. And in Romania is a fairly Christian country, so, you know, people usually know about God. But I've been shocked to see how many people do not know about Jesus. There was actually this girl one time. I saw she had a cross on her neck, like a necklace cross. And I went up to her, and I had one too. And I was like, "Oh, you're Christian. You believe in God." She, like, looked at me really confused, and she's like, "No." And I was like, "Oh, but the cross, like, what does the cross?" And I started a conversation asking her what it means to her. And she's like, "I just thought it's something cool." And then I was able to share the gospel, and actually she received Jesus because of that. But I was actually shocked to see that there are many people out there that they have never heard about Jesus. They've not been fortunate enough to hear about Jesus. So that's why it's important that we always have a short, like, 3-minute gospel preaching in the back of our mind so that, you know, if the Holy Spirit leads us to someone, we can share something short, sharp, and on fire. And of course, I will say that the way you deliver your message may differ. Because family members, you don't just go up to them and like, you know, you need to repent and accept Jesus today. And no, we need to be patient. We need to be kind because, you know, they know us. They've seen our flaws maybe and all that kind of stuff. So with different people, I believe the Holy Spirit will guide us. But I just want to encourage you, if you see a stranger on the street or if the Holy Spirit asks you to be bold, even with, I don't know, a friend or something, just do it. But just also always be considerate of the person you're talking with. You know, we don't come from we need to come humbly. You know, I've been given this opportunity to hear about Jesus. You know, so I want to share that because it's an honor that I heard about it before that person. And now I would like to invite Jacqueline to share a little bit on another important part of sharing the gospel. We've noticed is an icebreaker in conversations most times is sharing your testimony. Because no one can say it didn't happen because it's your story. And a lot of times it opens up the door to the gospel. So I'll have Jacqueline come up and share.
Hello. I would like to share a bit about sharing your testimony. And that's been something that I've been working this year a lot to do in my personal life. So I just want to share a little bit of the tricks and stuff that I've learned this past year. I want to talk about why we should share the gospel. How is it like a simple way for us to share the gospel? And the amazing impact once you do that, the amazing impact it can have to the people around us. As Ashley mentioned, it's sharing your testimony, your story, is a way for people to probably open the door for them to receive the gospel. Talking to non-believers, I've seen that a simple way for me to enter into a conversation with them was by saying, hey, can I share my story with you? And then everything goes on from there. And it's so important, what I've noticed, to always be prepared. Have your testimony ready to say it, like always be prepared. And I was challenged this year to try to make my testimony in like 2 minutes. And I was like, okay, that's pretty hard. So I tried to, I put a timer and I tried to make my testimony in 2 minutes. And why it's important to be, to have it like really short and impactful, it's because people like at a grocery store or in the center, they won't probably talk to a stranger for a very long time. So when you approach somebody, you want to be like, short, sharp, and on fire for God, and you want to like say exactly what you want to say. So there are 4 simple steps that will help you say everything you want to say in a short time. And the first thing is you want to start by sharing your life before you knew God. Like, what was your life before you knew God? And then you want to continue by saying, but God came into my life and the way that God changed your life. And then the third step is you want to share how your life looks now after you met God. Share with them. Make them see why would they want to follow God. And then the fourth step, my favorite, is to let the person with a challenge, challenge the person. Hey, the way God changed my life, it can change your life too. Leave a challenge for them. So it's always really important to have your testimony prepared. And for me personally, it was a simple, like after I stayed a couple of days and really like worked on my testimony and worked on it, now I feel like I can go outside and I can talk to people, and it has opened so many doors in my personal life to talk to people about Jesus. And before I finish, I just want to share a little story about one thing that happened when I was on an outreach. We went with a group of teenagers in the center of a city. And I was raised in a Christian family, so I always believed that my testimony would never be able to change somebody's life because I never done anything majorly wrong in my life. So I was like, I lived a pretty okay life. No, it's not like I'm going to change somebody's life through my story. But I went on this outreach, and in the center, it came my turn to say my testimony. So I was like, okay, God, I'll try it. I'll do it. I'll obey you. So I took the microphone, shared my testimony, and then I went on a side and let the other people share their testimonies. And I felt like a tap on my back. And it was this couple, and they were with tears in their eyes. And the wife looked at me and said, and hugged me. And then she said, thank you so much for sharing your testimony because it was such an encouragement to me. And she was actually a Christian. And she said, that was such an encouragement that life with God, like I can continue doing it. I talked with her a bit more, and she didn't tell me what she was going through, but it was just like an encouragement for her. So ever since that moment, I always say, never belittle your story. Never think that you don't have something to share. Always be open. What does God want me to share? And open to just approach somebody and say your short testimony. Thank you.
That was so good. So yeah, Jacqueline, what she said about sharing your testimony, just I would encourage you even this week, if you have time, you know, in your personal time with God, maybe write on a paper, you know, what are key things? What are some stories from my life that I could maybe tell people? And when you do that, it's cool because God will actually put you in situation and he'll remind you. It's kind of like you do your homework at home and then God will use it when you go out. And I think it's important that we have our homework done. And another important thing with your testimony that I've seen is it's important to remind yourself what God has done. You know, when you remember how you were before Christ, it makes life so much easier for you to continue on and be like, ah, I'm so thankful for Jesus. I'm so thankful for how my life is now, because you're reminding yourself continuously. So as I said earlier, going on to the gospel, with the gospel, I'm sure you all know the gospel. And I know all these things that we're talking about are actually basic things. I was actually struggling last night a bit preparing. And I was like, but this is like basic stuff. Like, I'm sure everyone knows this stuff. But, you know, I do think it's important for us to remind ourselves the basics sometimes, because that's the foundation. Sometimes we make God a little more complicated than he is, but it's just as simple as that. So one thing I learned this past year while I was in Bible school, and one thing I used, of course, there are many ways you can do this. You can share. I'm not saying this is the only one. There are many other better ways, of course, but I think it's important for you to have a clear structure of what you need to share to people when you go and do that. At least for me, that helps. And this, these four keywords I've always had in the back of my mind while I've been going and doing evangelism, and it's helped me to not miss important things out of the gospel, like, you know, Jesus died, rose again, and stuff like that, like important things that people should know. And these four points are creation, separation, solution, and decision. And when we talk about, I believe it's important to start and tell people, you know, you and I were created by God to be with God, to have a relationship with him. And for a true relationship to exist, you and I both know there has to be a choice. And that's why God gave us free will. And when we start at the beginning, when we start with creation, it kind of helps people understand why Jesus died for them. Because if we just go to someone and be like, you know, Jesus died for you, like, do you want to get saved? Like, you know, they'll be like, I never asked him to die for me. Like, why did he do that? So it's important that people understand why Jesus had to die. And then, of course, separation. I won't go into these details because I'm sure each and everyone knows these things. But it's important to explain to people that, you know, we chose to run away from God. We took our free will and we chose to go the other direction. And that is why sin entered the world. That is why so many bad things happen. And I like to give this example. And when I say, you know, where there's no light, what is there? There's darkness. And where there's no God, there's death. And that's why we're seeing wars. That's why we're seeing so much death in the world. We're seeing so many problems because we've turned away from God, you know. And after this, you know, it's important to go into solution. You know, the penalty of our sin is death. And God saw that. He knew that. Because he loved us so much, he decided to He made a game plan, and that game plan was Jesus. That was our second chance. He sent Jesus to live a life that you and I could never live, and he died, and after 3 days, because he was so perfect, death couldn't even hold him down. He rose again, and he is alive today, and he wants to offer this gift to us. And this last point, decision, I've always kind of shied away from this point because it's like, you know, if I just tell them, they can decide in their room, and, you know, it kind of makes the awkwardness go away. But I do think it's important, and I've seen it's really important for us to actually give people the opportunity, if, of course, if we feel the Holy Spirit lead us to, and if there's a place for that,
to actually ask people, you know, I just feel I want, would you like to, I want to give you the opportunity today if you want to receive Jesus. And you know, a lot of times we don't do that because we're afraid they'll say no. But what's the worst that could happen? The first thing that could happen is they say no. And it's really easy if they say no. You just continue to be loving. You say, I totally understand. But always leave them with hope. Teach them how they could receive Jesus. Because, you know, right, sometimes we're just planting seeds. And it doesn't matter if they receive Jesus when I'm there or not. What matters is that they receive Jesus somewhere down the line. So always teach them, you know, if you ever are in your room alone or if you ever go through something, you can always cry out to Jesus. He's there. He listens. And another thing that happens when you ask people if they want to receive Jesus, and actually this happens more times than not, and I've been shocked, is people say yes. And the first thing I would advise, if someone says yes, don't act surprised, because the gospel works. Like, it's not like, I remember I was with some youth and the person said yes, and all the youth from the church that I was like kind of helping them and teaching them, they were like, oh, they said yes. Like, don't be shocked. The gospel works. It's great for us to be happy and rejoice. But just know, when you walk in it, walk confidently that the gospel works. And when people say yes, you know, lead them into a short salvation prayer. Explain to them that, you know, the Bible says we just have to confess with our mouth and believe. And then just simply make it simple. Don't overcomplicate it. But the most important thing I would say is when someone says yes, get their contact. Connect them to a church. You know, bring them here to church. If they're from a different area, find a church in that area. Bring them out to a coffee. Like, really be intentional, because it's not just about leading people to Jesus and then letting them. We also need to take the next step in discipling. So I will finish this part with our message with saying that, you know, we need to be aware that sometimes we're planting seeds, and that's okay. You know, there was this one guy that we were talking with, and he seemed totally uninterested. And I mean, he didn't want to receive Jesus. We left. It was fine. And a couple weeks later, he writes to someone in our group and says, you know, thank you so much for telling me about Jesus that day, because I actually just received Jesus. I'm now very involved in church. And it's because you guys told me all that, even though I seemed uninterested. So this was a case where we found out that, you know, he later down the line received Jesus. But there's many times we won't find out, and that's okay, because it's not about us. It's not about us like ticking off a box. Yes, they did it. We're planting seeds. You know, sometimes you'll bring someone from a 1 to a 3, and 1 being like they've never heard about Jesus. You bring them up. Sometimes someone will be at an 8 and you bring them to a 10 and they receive Jesus there. And then people are at different levels. Their hearts are at different, they're processing things differently. So we also need to be aware that we're planting seeds, and that's okay. And now finally, I'll close with this, is your anointing. We'll go into power evangelism a little bit. And you see, power evangelism is when we partner with the Spirit of God in how we share the gospel with people. Because it's important for us to know that all of our arguments, our way of being, everything, it's useless if the Holy Spirit isn't working, isn't opening up their hearts. It's not about my arguments, how good they are, how good I am at evangelizing. No, we have to stay so humble, because it's the Holy Spirit that does everything. So it's important when we go out in our families, in our community, we're partnering with the Holy Spirit. And with power evangelism, it's where the gifts of the Spirit come into function to reach the lost. And we see here that it's so important in Acts 1:8 to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, because it says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me to the end of the earth. So you see, the anointing comes when we partner with the Holy Spirit. And that's what we should be looking for. You know, it's not about my talents. It's not about how, it's the Holy Spirit. And I would say that the number one tip when evangelizing is actually not speaking sometimes. It's listening. Let people talk. And while they're talking, listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, maybe someone will be telling them of a situation in their family, and the Holy Spirit's like, pray for that. But we need to listen. We need to make room for the Holy Spirit to speak to us. If we're always just speaking, the Holy Spirit can't speak to us. So it's really important that we're listening to people and we're also paying attention. Okay, Holy Spirit, what are you wanting to do in this situation? You know, what's the next step I should take? And when you preach the gospel, you're also called to demonstrate it. And one really useful thing I've seen when evangelizing is healing. Because through healing, Jesus wants to make himself real to the lost. And you just pray simply, you know. If you ever feel you can use healing, I've always been afraid of this, to be honest, because, you know, what if you pray and the person doesn't get healed? You know, the Bible says if we have faith as a mustard seed, you know, we can move mountains. So you laying hands and praying for someone, that is faith. And if God decides to heal someone or if he decides not to, that is up to him. But still, we are called to act in obedience. Because when you lay hands on someone and they're healed, I'm going to have Annabelle come up and share what a testimony healing can be and how it can open up people's hearts.
Hello, good morning, Chapel on the Hill Church. It's a blessing to be here this morning with you. So now I'm just going to share a short story about healing. So me with a couple teenagers went to share the gospel on the streets and to pray for people. And there was this group of teenage boys, and they were kind of uninterested. And they didn't want to talk about Jesus, really. And we said, are you okay if we can pray for you? And they said, yeah. And we said, do you have any pain in your body? And one of the boys said, yeah, my leg really hurts when I walk. And we started praying for him, and he stood up, and he was just in shock. He was amazed. He was healed. And he was just, the whole group was like, whoa, what happened? And the boy was so amazed, and he's never seen such a thing. And they were so open about hearing about Jesus after this. And I believe that God did that healing for the whole group to kind of get to know him. And we don't need to be afraid of praying for people just because of the fear of them not getting healed. Because our job is to pray for people, but God makes the ultimate decision, and he has a plan. So yeah, thank you.
So yeah, we've seen, so even healing can be important. There's also words of wisdom. You know, it's just really important that as we're going through life, you know, we're just really paying attention. Okay, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do in this? Make sure that also you're very sensitive to people. You know, let's act in love and kindness. Let's speak in love and kindness, because that makes all the difference. And I want to just close here by saying that the gospel to your circle of influence is your responsibility. You know, we're missionaries in Romania, but Romania is where God has placed us. You know, if God had placed us anywhere else, it would be our responsibility to share the gospel anywhere else. Same way here, each and every one of you have been placed in a school, at a workplace, in a family for a purpose. That circle of influence, that circle of friends, that circle of family members, that is your responsibility. So I just want to close today, and we could maybe have the worship team come up. And I just want to, make two altar calls, actually, and challenge you in two ways. The first one being, if you are here, and you know, you maybe came to church for the first time, and you're hearing about evangelism, and you're realizing, okay, I don't even know Jesus, but I need Jesus, and I want to make him Lord and Savior of my life. I want to encourage you can come to the side here. We can have a group praying for you if you want to receive Jesus today. But the second altar call I want to make is, I think that's for the majority. And that is, if you're here today and you realize, God, I want to give you my entire yes. God, I want to be bold. You know, maybe you're sitting here and you're like, you know, I'm so afraid to do this. And that is okay. Do it afraid. But the Holy Spirit, He will come upon you. So I want to invite today, and we just want to invite the Holy Spirit to come and fill us up today. Because I believe every one of us can leave this place being filled up. I believe every one of us can leave this place with such a boldness, with such a courage to go and tell people. And it won't be about what you're saying or what you're doing. It will be the Holy Spirit working in you. Your school can be transformed. Your workplace can be transformed just because you say yes to God. So I just want to invite you, if you want to say, God, yes, I want to be bold. I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit. I just want to invite you to stand up right now. And together we're going to pray for boldness. We're going to pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon us.